chapter number 4 this morning. We've been going through the book of Luke on Sunday mornings, and we've looked at so far some important announcements in chapter number 1. Then we looked at what we call the Advent in chapters 2 and 3, first part of chapter 3. We ended last time at the end of chapter 3 looking at the ancestry. And now we're going to look the first part of chapter number 4 this morning at the adversary. The first part of chapter 4 at the adversary. And we'll read verses 1 through 13 this morning. If you're able to, let's stand in respect to the Word of God as we read it this morning in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 1. It says this: "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity now to look at your word. And Lord, I am the first to say I desperately need you. God, I pray that, Lord, you just hide me, and may your word be lifted up this morning. Lord, your son be preached. And Father, I pray now that, Lord, you just please speak to every one of our hearts. I pray that our hearts would be open and receptive to the Spirit of God as he will teach. And Lord, I pray that you would comfort and you would strengthen, you would rebuke, you would encourage. Whatever our heart's need is this morning, that God, you would meet that. And Father, I pray that, Lord, we'd leave this place closer to you, more on fire for you. But Lord, if there be anyone here today that's lost, I pray they would not leave today being deceived by the devil. Lord, if there's someone here discouraged as a believer, Lord, heading down the wrong path, I pray they would not leave today without recognizing and changing, Lord, their thoughts and following what, Lord, the devil's will is for their life. And I pray that, Lord, you just please speak to us now. And again, may your name be lifted and praised. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. And that's a very familiar passage of Scripture. The adversary, probably at the top of your Bible, it says the temptations of Jesus. You know, and you've probably heard many different sermons on these. Probably a lot has been drawn back to the book of Genesis, and there is a lot of parallels there with that first temptation that he brought there with Adam. Probably some have been taken to 1 John, where the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, you can see the parallels there. And every one of those things is very applicable and very, very much so true. Matter of fact, I've said this many times, and I still stand by it, that the devil, while he is the father of lies, and he is full of many wiles, the realization is this: we do not have to be ignorant of his devices. We can know the Word of God and be able to defend ourselves from anything that the devil would try to throw our way. And here in this passage of Scripture, I want you to understand something as we get into it this morning, that there is not a chance that Jesus would sin in this passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, the purpose of this, I really don't believe the devil even thought he was going to get him to sin. This was no ordinary person who the devil was dealing with. I am one, and you'll see it here, why I say so. I think this was all for this purpose. Obviously, you're going to see this. The Holy Spirit led him to where he went. And God will not ever, Book of James, put us in the way and tempt us in any way. He'll never tempt us to do sin. This was not a test to see if Jesus would sin. This was a showing of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no chance. When I was in college one time, they had a big debate just in the dorms with all the guys. You know, could Jesus have sinned? That's the most ridiculous statement I ever heard in my life. I said, guys, are you serious? You know, if that's even possible, then what do we have, right? It's not. He is perfectly righteous, always has been, and always will be. Amen. He is the Son of God. So let's see a couple of things here in this passage of Scripture. First of all, in verse number 1, we'll outline it in this way. The Spirit forces Satan to fight. He forces Satan to fight. Did the Spirit of God know what was going to happen in this wilderness? Yes. Did the Spirit of God lead Jesus into the wilderness? Look at it, verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So, did the Holy Spirit know what was going on? Absolutely. And so he brings him into the wilderness. And he knew, and it was that the devil, what would happen. And trust me, the devil knew exactly who he was dealing with. This was no ordinary man. This is and was and will always be the Son of God. Jesus wasn't being tempted to see if he would sin. He was there to show his perfect righteousness. Now the devil, and understand this, he was once the anointed cherub. He now, according to 1 Peter 5, is a roaring lion. And hear me on this, he is a great force. He is wickedness. He is, just humanly speaking, something that nobody in this room or in the world should ever mess with. You stay away from all things that you can, demonic and wrong. You ought to stay away from those things. You ought to flee from those things. You're a fool if you play with things and open yourself up to demonic activity. Playing with magic and watching shows that promote magic and getting into the music that promotes these things. As a child of God, you ought to stay away from those things. Because all you do when you allow those things into your life is you open yourself up to attack in ways that you can't handle. You say, well, I can handle it. You're wrong, because if you're letting those things in your life, you're not being controlled by the Spirit of God. And the only way for victory is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. So you stay away from those things. You stay away from these things that will allow this influence into your life. But while he is a mighty force, and while he is the devil, a wicked, evil force, make no mistake, he is a creature. He was created. And Satan is no match for the Son of God. He is no match for the Son of God. You kind of find it ironic, don't you, that the first Adam was placed into a perfect garden. And he failed. But the second Adam would be in a wilderness and show success. Our Lord God would show himself and understand. And I really, and if you want to argue this, I wouldn't argue with you. But I believe that these temptations came at the close of these 40 days. You'll notice there in verse number 2, it says, being 40 days tempted of the devil. I believe during those 40 days that the devil threw everything he had at the Lord Jesus Christ. And over in Hebrews, you know, to turn there, chapter 4 and verse number 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus faced every temptation that you and I will ever face, yet without sin. And I believe in those 40 days that the devil threw everything he had at him. He every temptation that you and I have ever faced in our life or ever will face in our life, Jesus faced those temptations, but he showed himself to be perfectly righteous. And that's a blessing to us, because there's nothing that we will ever go through. Listen to me, I'll repeat that statement. There is nothing we will ever go through that he does not understand. And he does not give us a way of escape. So Satan, he is forced by the Spirit to confront Jesus. But then you see number two, the Spirit forces Satan to flee. In verses 2 to 13, you see here what has always been called the temptation of Jesus. But the devil at the end of these 40 days, you see it in verse number 2, and being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. For 40 days, temptations were thrown his way. For 40 days, he fasted, led by the Spirit of God. For 40 days, he ate nothing. He was, humanly speaking, at his limit, physically speaking. If you tried to fast, most doctors will tell you, you reach that 6-week mark of fasting, you're getting close to death. He had gone and pushed himself physically and was very sick. He would have been weak, physically speaking. And it's by no coincidence that it was at that point that the devil hit him with these last three, what we would see as powerful temptations. Now listen real close to what I'm about to say, because this is important just for us. Understand this, that the devil knows when you're physically weak. The devil knows when you're emotionally spent. The devil knows whenever you are tired. The devil knows whenever you have gone through a lot and when you have been hit with about all that you can handle. The devil knows that, and mark my words, he will try to attack in those days. When you're tired, when you're weak, when you're hurting, temptations will no doubt come. Probably most everybody in this auditorium have been through that in your life. Times when maybe you were physically down, times when you were physically sick, times when you have maybe experienced a great loss in your life, and it's then by no coincidence that the devil will try to discourage you and fight you. Start whispering in your ear thoughts of doubt and depression and discouragement. And he will bring, no doubt, temptations your way. I mean, when things are going well, when you just, let's say that we just, I mean, today God just pours out his blessings. I mean, let's say people get saved and boy, fellowship, sweet fellowship. We sing the songs, we testify. Man, it's just a mountaintop day. Man, we'll go into work tomorrow singing the songs of Zion. We're whistling all day. It doesn't matter if there's a flat tire. It doesn't matter what. God's good. Man, what a day he gave us yesterday. And we're on cloud 9. And there'll be temptations out there, but boy, we're just so on fire for God. It really is like there's blinders on our eyes. But let you have a really bad day. Let the day go. Let the week start dragging on. Let there be a maybe you get that nasty flu going around, and then maybe there's a bank error that really takes everything. And I mean, eventually by the end of the week, the steam is all out. Let those same temptations come around you. You're tired. You become emotionally and physically spent. And the devil knows that. At the end of these 40 days, and on this final day, the devil brings three temptations. Look at them real quick with me. Number one, you see the first temptation, which I believe was an attack on the will of God. Look in verse number 3. It says, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread." Now I'm going to pause a second. Notice the devil's going to keep saying that, "If thou be the Son of God." Did Jesus know who he was? Yes. Yeah. Without a doubt. Did Jesus know he was the Son of God? Yes. Why did the devil keep pounding this? Because isn't it amazing? The devil tried to get you to believe things that you know aren't true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You ever been there? When the devil whispered in your ear, God didn't even save you, right? You ever been there when the devil whispered, God's forsaking you? You ever been there when the devil whispers in your ear saying, there's no use, God doesn't care about you? The devil will try to tell you things that you know are contrary to the word of God. But isn't it amazing when you're spent, when you're tired, when you're weak, how we even give an ear to those things? We got to be real careful there. And he says this, and of course the Lord knew better, but he says it over and over again. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may, that it be made bread. Jesus was no doubt, he had spent 40 days fasting. Satan, now look at me, Satan whispered in his ear, you're famished. Man, you're hungry. You're famished. Jesus, look at yourself. If you'll do what I say, you can provide for yourself some sustenance. You can make yourself out of these stones, make them into bread, and you can eat that and meet your need. Now, could Jesus have taken those stones and made them bread? Absolutely. He took water and made it into wine. I mean, he can do whatever he wants to. Would it have been wrong for Jesus on his own accord to take those stones and make them into bread and eat them? No. But hear me on this real quick. Ready? Who led him into the wilderness? Spirit of God. Who led him in this fast? The Spirit of God. He was full of the Holy Ghost, being led of the Spirit. It was a Spirit that led him into the wilderness. It was a Spirit that led him to fast. And the Spirit had not told him to quit fasting. The devil said, look at you, Jesus. You're spent. You're famished. If you just do this, you can meet your own needs. Do what I tell you to, and you'll be satisfied. You're trying to serve God. Here you are, Jesus. You're trying to do what's right, and you're broken. You're weak. Do something for yourself. Make yourself better. Now listen to me, please, believers. This is something I need and you need. Many times in our life, the devil's going to whisper in our ears and say, look at you. Here you are, been trying to serve God. Here you are, been trying to pour yourself out. Here you are, been trying to do and stay busy serving the Lord. And look at you, you're beat. Look at you. Why don't you stay home tonight? Just get yourself some rest. Now that one hurt, didn't it? You're so tired, sleep in. Why don't you skip a couple days reading your Bible, right? You deserve that. Look at you. You've been serving. You've been tithing. Why don't you skip a couple weeks? You'll be able to get yourself something you've been wanting. But the devil knows what he's doing. The devil knows how to go. And listen to me. The devil hates the will of God. The devil does not want you to follow in the will of God. Matter of fact, we are warned, and Brother Slee's been preaching to us on Sunday nights, that we can be taken captive at the devil's will. The devil has a plan for your life. The devil would love to destroy your life. I mean, sitting here in the front row, Brother Sutherland, God has a will for Brother Sutherland's life. Amen? God has a will. Apparently no one believes that, but I do, all right? God has a will for his life. God has a plan for him this week. God has people he wants him to minister to. God has people that he's going to bring into his life that he can be a blessing to. He has a will to be faithful to his wife. God has a will to be a witness for the Lord, to fulfill, to sing in the choir. This is God's will for his life. And the devil would love to destroy that. He would love to get in there. And one of the ways he'll do it is say, come on. You've been doing this all your life, and what's it got you? Now, the reality is, the blessings of God have been numerous. But boy, isn't it amazing how he can get you blinded on those things. It's like he puts shades over your eyes. You don't see all the blessings of God. Well, I mean, when things are going good, we're okay, right? But boy, you let the bills start to stack up, or you let, a loss, or you let your physical health start to decline, and you know what happens? The devil whispers in your ear, so what good has it been? Why don't you quit? If you don't believe me that happens, we got about a 3-page list of people that used to be attending. And I'm not casting stones, because the same thing could happen to anybody if we give ear to the devil's lies. So what do I need to do? You need to stay faithful to the will of God. How do I know the will of God? Keep your nose in the Word of God. Follow, do right every day. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and it says there, what is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us? Do those things. Stay close to God. The devil whispered in his ear, said, you're famished. Give yourself some sustenance. Make yourself feel good. The second, of course, the Lord, verse number 4, it is written. Isn't it amazing how we can conquer the devil's temptations using the Word of God?
Yes.
That's why it's important we know the Word of God. The Lord quotes from Deuteronomy 3 times in showing victory over these temptations. It says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Listen to me, when the devil tries to get in your ear and tell you it's not worth it, tells you to go ahead and quit or to go a different way, my friends, that's when we just get in the Word of God and say, nope, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Bible teaches, and I'm going to stick true to the Word of God. And I promise you this, God will bless. Second temptation comes around, deals with the worship of God. Verse number 5, and the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. The devil takes him up on a mountain. In that moment of time, glimpses over all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil says, Jesus, you see all these kingdoms of the world? I'll give it to you. They'll give you all the glory if you will bow the knee and worship me. In other words, he looked at Jesus, who is the Son of God, who, mark my words, because the Bible's true, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. I've read the book, you have too. He will rule and reign on this earth. And the devil says, do this now. You can have it right now. The whole world will worship you. Jesus, you're the Son of God. They should be worshiping you. Listen to me. You failed. Now, had Jesus failed? Oh, no, no, no. Before the worship, there must be the suffering. He would go to the cross. But the devil's offering him something and saying, you failed. This should be yours, right? You've not. If you'll bow and worship me, I promise you sovereignty. You can be king. Now listen, Jesus never argued with him at the fact that the devil could offer that to him. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. If you'll just bow to me, you can have all the sovereignty. If you'll just bow to me, the world will worship you. And amazing how sometimes the devil loves to throw the same things at us when we're tired, when we're weak, when we're worn. The devil whispering in your ear, I know he has me. I guarantee he has Brother Slee. I'd venture to say he's whispered it in Brother Harris's ear. Look what all you've done. Where's the glory? No one appreciates it. You, maybe some of you, nobody told you you did a good job singing, right? Nobody appreciates what you do. You deserve better. Why don't you go and just go ahead and just make yourself something? Quit all this stuff. Go ahead and do it, and then people will appreciate you. Why don't you, instead of following God, because that obviously has led you nowhere, why don't you start to make yourself something? Be your own king. Be your own God. The devil would love to try to tell us that we failed. Look at things, right? You can't get a crowd. Look at you. You visited for 6 hours Saturday. No one came. Look, what's the point? The devil loves to pound us on those things. But the Lord looks at him and says, verse 8, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Can I tell you something? One day, he will get the glory from all the kingdoms of the world. One day, he will rule and reign. And I promise you this, child of God, if you spend your time investing in the will of God, you spend your time just worshiping God with your life, and in everything, he has the preeminence. If you just give him your best, you give him all you've got, and you serve him, you may not see what you expect to see in recompense on this world, but I promise you this, it will be worth it all when you see Jesus. I promise you this, God takes notice. The devil likes to try to get you to talk to him. You know, you don't need to worship God with your life. Live for yourself. And the Lord just quotes scripture, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." My friends, just keep God first in your life and keep serving him, because it will be worth it. Then the devil brings a third temptation. He's attacked the will of God. He's attacked the worship of God. And now with this third temptation, he'll attack the Word of God. He'll take, understand, he's been thwarted twice by Scripture. So the devil will take those Scriptures and twist them and manipulate the Scriptures to try to bring confusion. Oh, my friends, be careful of false teachers out there. There are false teachers who love to take a passage out of context, twist the Scripture, and try to make it say something that it does not say. I had a guy on a radio station talk 27 minutes about me this week, saying I'm a heretic, because on our website under salvation, I use the reference there in Acts chapter number 2, when Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin." And I use that as along with a bunch of other scriptures about salvation. Now, he disregarded everything I had written, but he said he believes that you have to be baptized to be saved. Are you serious? Now, that scripture in context with scripture interpreting scripture, it's really easy to understand that when you get saved, and you must be saved before you're baptized, and the Bible's very clear on that, and we've preached on that, and there's not one person in this auditorium who doesn't know that. And it is though the first act of obedience to be baptized. But you can take a scripture and twist it, right? Make it say what you want to say. There's many preachers out there that will tell you today that you can lose your salvation. They like to twist the scripture. That's wrong. You cannot lose your salvation. Amen. If you could lose your salvation, it's not eternal life. If you could lose your salvation, then Jesus lied when he says they shall never perish. Because if you could have salvation and lose it, then Jesus said a lie. Because he said those that receive shall never perish. So if I'm saved, I shall never perish. But there's people who twist the scripture and try to make it say what they want to. The devil loves to do that. The devil here approaches Christ. Let's read it, verse number 9. "And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." He takes him up on top of the pinnacle of the temple and he looks at Jesus and says, "Hey, here you are. You're supposed to be the Son of God, right?" And they don't even know who you are. They don't even care. Look down on them. They're going about their life. Here you are amongst them, and they don't care about you. Here you are. People, the only one that was there shouting your name, John the Baptist, he's in jail. Your own brothers don't even accept you, Jesus. He says, look at all the people there. They don't even know your name. Jesus, now at one time, your birth, it caused a big stir. But look at them down there, going in and about the temple. Look at their lies. Look at their thievery. Look at their lives. Now listen, they've forgotten all about you. They have forgotten you. You're nothing to them. But I have an idea for you, Jesus. If you will throw yourself off of this temple, your scriptures say that the angels will catch you. And boy, you throw yourself off the pinnacle of this temple, and the scriptures say that it'll catch you. And then all of a sudden, they see these angels do this, and they see you go to the ground protected by the angels. Then you're going to be successful. Everybody will know you. Everybody will be talking about you. You'll be the toast of the town. Throw yourself off the top here. He uses Psalm chapter 91. Look at it real quick. Let's read what the devil tried to quote to him real quick. Psalm chapter number 91. Because the devil loves to twist the scriptures here. In Psalm chapter 91, now I'm going to read again what the devil said to Jesus. It says, he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to them, now listen, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Now let's look at Psalm chapter 91. Look in verse number 11. It says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. But does the verse end? That's all the devil quoted. What's the rest of the verse say? In all thy ways. Will God always take care of you? Absolutely. Look at me. As long as you're doing what God tells you to do. As long as you're following the Word of God. You can sit there and say, well, I'm a Christian and God, I have a lot, I'm behind on everything and God's not meeting my needs. Yeah, you're not tithing. You're not being faithful to God. Well, I'm sitting in church, but me and my wife, we're about to separate. Shows you're not following the patterns given in the Word of God. Amen. Because God's word works. As long as you're doing in all thy ways, yes. You can read that verse. It's absolutely, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Was it God's will that Jesus jumped off that temple and be caught by the angels in order to earn himself success in the eyes of the world, that they would notice him? No. He was there to go to a cross. But the devil loves to twist scripture. The devil went on to say, and I'll read it from Luke. It says, in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Look at verse number 12 in Psalm 91. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. But let's read the next verse that the devil conveniently stopped before he read. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Don't you love that verse? Amen. Kind of convenient the devil didn't quote that part, huh? I can almost see the Lord kind of grin when the devil stops quoting there. Satan, you're doomed in the next verse you just quoted. The Lord will be victorious. The devil didn't have a chance. But the devil tried to offer and said, look, you've been forgotten. I can give you success. Do it my way. But back in Luke chapter number 4, Jesus answers in verse number 12. Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. My friends, it's vital that we know the scriptures of God in order to overcome the temptations the devil will throw our way. But let me wrap this up by telling you this. Listen, the devil will always, and listen, his greatest attacks will be upon these three areas in our life. If you haven't listened to much, then listen to these last 5 minutes. The devil will try to attack us when it comes to the will of God, the worship of God, and the Word of God. He will do his best to destroy those three areas in our life. If he can get us from get us out of the will of God, to doubt the Word of God, and to find some other way of, instead of worshiping God, worshiping ourselves or some false god, then that's what he will do. He will attack us, and he'll do so by trying to whisper in your ear, look at you, you're famished, you have failed, and you are forgotten. I don't know about you, but I've heard those lies in my ears. The devil will try to attack by saying, hey, listen, you're famished. You've given your all, and now look at you. You failed. You haven't achieved anything. You were forgotten. No one even cares about you. And then he brings up and says, look, if you do it my way, I'll give you sustenance. I'll make you happy. Do it my way, you can have sovereignty. You can be what you want to be and do what you want to do. Do it my way, I'll give you success. I'll make you into a somebody. The devil's lies are the same thing for you and I today. He attacks in the same ways. He is the father of lies. And you know what? This wasn't part of my message. As you know, I read where we're at over and over. I read this morning, and it just hit me. Just reading it. Luke chapter number 4. Now, praise the Lord. He showed himself more mighty than the devil. Used the scriptures for us a pattern how to overcome the temptations. Verse 13, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. There can be victory. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now he may try to come back later just to see if you're going to still be what you said you were. But as long as we do what's right, he'll keep fleeing. But look at verse number 14. Here's what I'm supposed to be. We'll talk about, I'm sure, next week about it. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Remember the devil? You failed. You're nothing. You're not a success. Now he comes with power. Amen. And there went out fame of him throughout all the region round about. Oh, well, look at that. All that he was trying to offer him, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Hey, mark my words, the devil's going to try to get you to doubt God and quit on God and offer you a bunch of stuff, but if you'll stay true to the word of God and the will of God and keep worshiping God, all those things shall be added unto you. It will be worth it. God will take care of his own. So I wonder today, is there someone here who's listening to a lie? I wonder if there's someone here today, you find yourself discouraged and about ready to quit. I wonder if there's anyone today that's listening to some scriptures that have been twisted and you've been deceived. I wonder if there's anyone here today who's thought, well, no one even cares about me, so why should I keep going? I wonder if there's someone here today who say, I've given my all and it's just not worth it, and the devil's lying to you. Trust me, he'll hit you with all those things, especially when you're weak, when you're tired, when you've gone through a loss. My friends, that's when you, more than any time ever in your life, need to be in the Word of God, be around God's people, and stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you're lost, and the devil doesn't want you to hear these things today. He says, don't listen to him. Man, your life is sweet. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you these things. Man, if you get saved, your life will be miserable. He's a liar. Man, if you get saved, your whole life will have to change. You'll have no friends. You'll have no life. I promise you this. The greatest friends I have are those believers in Christ that I'm with today. The greatest joys of my life are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how people go through life without knowing the Lord. He makes every day wonderful. The devil's a liar. And he'll tell you today, you got plenty of time. He's a liar. He'll ruin your life. He's lying. I believe most people in this auditorium could testify today that the greatest decision you've ever made in your life is the day that you got saved. He changed everything. And as a believer, watch out for his lies. Watch out for his temptations. You can overcome. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. God overcame. He was led and controlled by the Spirit of God. Travis Burke on his own is a train wreck. But if I'm led by the Spirit of God, I'm a victor. I can have victory as I submit myself to God and resist the devil. Then there's victory.